I'm Carmen Norris, and you are listening to the Bad Alibi Podcast. You know how you wish you could jump into the future and see how things turn out? Well, right about now, I'm hoping that my past self could do just that and warn me about where I'd end up. It all started with a kiss. A sweet, romantic little, okay, fine. It was a full-on, sweaty, backseat of the car hookup, but sweet words were said before that, so what do you know? It can still count as romance, right? The problem was that I and my forever on-again, never-fully-off-again ex, Ezekiel, unknowingly got photographed in some random girl's selfie. It wasn't even a cute selfie, and that really stings, but whatever. And just like that, it was posted online. And just like that, people began tagging, commenting, and zooming in. And of course, to wrap it all up nice and tidy with a pretty bow, my boyfriend, who pays half the rent and got his dad to give us all jobs, is blowing up my phone with screenshots and expletives, and underneath it all, the heart I broke, because Ezekiel knew all the right words, and I thought I knew better than to ever get caught. The next few days were filled with fights, the silent treatment, and the forever classic, "I'm not upset, I'm just disappointed," from my parents. I couldn't get another word in to tell them that I need to move back in because of all this. A part of me really thinks they kept trying to talk over me so I couldn't get that far, but I really hated it more than they did. My latest ex-boyfriend, or as he referred to himself during our fights, the guy I'll always regret losing, left for the night, and I turned on the TV for some peaceful noise. Flipping through, I saw a picture of a nearby neighborhood on the news. All across nearby towns, people had gone missing or were murdered. At least they weren't dealing with being caught cheating with no place to live or work. Ugh. Now I feel bad for having such an inconsiderate thought. But that's why I'm in this mess, right? I only think about myself. Was at my door now. I regretted that my feet are already moving towards the door. Figured it was someone coming to berate me for what I'd done. A friend of mine who'd heard and was even more pissed I didn't tell them first. But I was wrong about who it was and still found a way to outdo myself. Look at me. Standing in front of me was a woman in a nice petticoat, and two guys walking up the stairs to stand beside her, one with a large camera and one with a microphone he held above our heads. The lady looked up at me with a smile so large I was unsure if I should have felt relaxed or alarmed. So I just stood there, furrowing my brows while she spoke with this cartoonish-like excitement. It was all such a blur. I didn't understand what it was all about until the large cardboard came out with a dollar amount that completely blew me away. I saw the name Publishers Clearinghouse, and my mind flashed to those commercials I thought were a total joke or a scam. And it felt like my ears had been underwater and were suddenly clear when the lady said, "Chandra Jenkins, you've just won $7,000 a week for the rest of your life. How does it feel?" I was stunned. I stood there, blubbering and hesitantly reaching towards the check. "This couldn't have come at a better time," I said to her. And as I said those words, something nagged at me. No, it pulled at my throat just enough to make me cough, physically cough. Whatever this feeling was, it was like it was trying to force me to remember something that would make this come crashing down around me. And I just can't have that. But I wanted to revel in laughing in everyone's faces, nevertheless. I felt I deserved it, and that I had been punished enough. After they left, I laid down on my bed and squealed with excitement. I could still hear the TV in the living room going, but mostly ignored it. I thought about how I could live anywhere, never have to work again, screw over as many guys as I wanted. That'd really show everyone. I didn't have to change for them. I could just do more of what I was already doing while being the wealthiest person any of them knew. Shoot, anybody that they could think of even knew. Then, something the news reporter was saying on TV caught my ear. That nagging feeling to my throat came back. They mentioned how the police were working on a possible connection between the slew of missing or murdered victims. They all received a visit from Publishers Clearing House right before a tragedy struck them. I thought about the car Ezekiel bought after our little scandal was out. I figured no one heard from him in a while because he was laying low. But now? Now I'm meeting the same or probably a very similar fate to him. Right after I got the check, I got a note saying that I shouldn't take the money because that's how they choose their victims. I thought some neighbor heard and was just playing a prank on me, you know, the crappy girl that cheated on her nice boyfriend. And now here I am, writing this so that hopefully when they find my body or at least come looking for it, somebody will know what happened. So, dear past self, in the end, you're the one who pays the greatest price for all that you did. Thank you for listening to the season 2 finale of the Bad Alibi Podcast. We'll see you again for season 3. In the meantime, follow, share with your friends, and tell us what you thought about the show.